Hello, everybody. It's Stefan from A Comedy Advice Podcast coming at you with that morning energy. All right. Yeah. Man, you're thinking he should not be that energetic in the morning. And if you were his wife, you would be pissed. You're right. She's in her room. I'm in my bed recording this right now. And she's right next to me. And she's like, babe, stop. And I'm like, no, babe, I got to do this for my listeners. Because you guys are awesome. Thank you. Coming at you with just a little appetizer before we get into the main dish. Actually, it's not even the appetizer. I'm the waiter coming at you, telling you about tonight's menu. Or today. Whatever time you're listening. I don't discriminate. This can be a night pod for you. This can be a morning pod. This can be a noon pod. It digests just the same. Anyway, I've got Michael Lenoci. Amazing comedian. I've seen him perform, and he is spectacular. He is probably the quickest speaking comedian I've heard, and he's just hilarious when he does it. He's a riffer. He's really good at riffing, and he shared a lot of great stories. He talked about being a comedian, being an actor. We'll get into it in the podcast if you just keep on listening, so I'm not going to tease it anymore, but he is a great guy. He's got an awesome podcast, The Takeover. I've got all the links in the show notes for you to be able to follow him, listen to his podcast, support him. Just go and do it. He's a good guy. Say hi. Say hi to him. Say hi. All right. And then if this is your first time listening, welcome. I appreciate you. Here, have a hug. Not from me. Just find the person closest to you and get a hug from them. That's how I work in mysterious ways. But I wanted to say thank you if you're coming back for more. You wanted seconds. You voracious podcast listener, you. I appreciate you coming back and eating me, consuming me and my content, my beefy content. You guys are awesome, and I really appreciate it. I love all of the love that you guys have been sending, whether it's following me on social at A Comedy Advice Podcast or sending questions, sending Inspirobot quotes. You guys are helping make this podcast a lot easier. If you guys want to further support me, please leave a review on iTunes, on Stitcher, wherever you're listening to podcasts. Follow, subscribe, tell your friends about me. You know you wanna. And if you guys want to support me and help make this podcast a better podcast, go on to Patreon and you can subscribe, be a Patreon or be a patron. God, such strange language that I'm getting used to. Be a patron for as little as $2 a month. You get some tasty, delicious, ad-free, early content. And for the top tier, you get some bonus content. That's right. You get a supplemental Stefan episode or maybe an extra guest episode. Who knows? Who knows? You'll just have to head on over to Patreon and see. So head on over to the show notes and you'll see the link to the Patreon page, social, email where you can send questions and inspire about quotes, everything. Guys, this has been fun, but I'm going to go back to bed now because my wife is dragging. She's putting the pillow over my head now. I can't. All right, here comes the episode.
A Comedy Advice Podcast.
An advice podcast for Stefan
and friends.
Make exaggerated statements not meant to be taken literally.
What was that, Stefan?
Comedy Advice Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of A Comedy Advice Podcast. My name is Stefan Sitani, and I'm your host. Joining me today is a very special guest. He's a comedian based out of L.A. He's appeared in the hit television show The Mick on Fox and the Goatface comedy special on Comedy Central. He has gallons of giggles online performing at the Laugh Factory that you can view on YouTube. And he has a brand new-ish podcast with a new intro that claps. Yeah, everybody welcome Michael Lenoci.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. Thank you. Thank you for listening, too. I know you can't see me. I can't see you, but if you're listening in your car or at the gym, whatever you're doing, thank you.
I like that. I like how addressing the audience specifically, because sometimes I make it too general, but if you pinpoint where they're at, I feel like it slaps extra hard.
Yeah, I like to wonder, I like to imagine that's where they're listening, you know? But, I mean, in today's environment, maybe they're sitting on the couch, you know, watching on YouTube or just, I don't know, cleaning the house. Who knows?
Where's the weirdest place you think someone would be listening to a podcast?
The weirdest place? A funeral. That would be pretty weird. Like to drown something out.
While the eulogy is being said.
Yeah. Just like, I got to check out of this. That would be weird. But common places I would think are work and the gym and the car ride. Yeah.
We're not going to alienate you funeral listeners.
Yeah,
if you're listening, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Hopefully you haven't had to listen to more than one episode. Then there's a lot of people dying in your life, but
yeah, that's true. Yeah. An exclusive funeral listener. That would be something. But how are you? How's your quarantine time been?
I'm on the upswing, I hope. You know, you never know. We'll see what life brings at me. But I think it's going to get better from here on out. I can't imagine it could ever get worse. So I'm just going to try to have a positive attitude with it now and just be like, yep, life is interesting. And here we are. We took the blows.
Yes, we did indeed take some blows, and it has been tough. I've been on a positive upswing as well. I'm trying to emphasize this for our funeral listeners, but I feel like I've gotten over it a little bit, and now I feel a little more comfortable with what's going on. I feel like there's less unexpected negatives that could be happening. Who knows? I mean, murder hornets happened last month, so could be like flame-breathing chameleons next, but we'll see. But I did want to talk about another positive thing, which was seeing you perform at the House of Comedy 2 weekends ago. And
just last week, I guess. Or 2 weekends ago. You're right. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's all good. Don't let it happen again. But you crushed it, man.
Thanks.
I had not heard of you before. I was ignorant. And I saw you come
clearly. Not doing your research, bro. I've been around the block.
Hey, man. Well, now I know all about Michael Inocci. I saw the wonderful Keurig commercial you were in 2012.
You went deep.
I may have gone too deep, man.
You went so deep, I'm allowed you still had me on this podcast. So
no, the more I found, the better it was. That was... I watched that commercial probably about 6 times because it made me crack up each time.
Yeah, I remember that day being exhausted and just like waking up, and because I think I was like 2 years into LA, so like that was a big deal to me, and I couldn't sleep the night before because I was so excited, and then just being exhausted all day, and it's just like it's a commercial, but it still took a whole day, and it's just like you're just like sitting around. And then it comes to your part, and it was just like maybe a half hour of shots, and then you were done. It was just like, it's so much waiting around goes into acting in general. Just even if it's not a commercial or a TV show, it's a lot of the time it's not fun.
Oh man, well I think you nailed the shot. I was gonna ask, did they do multiple takes of your look? Because that priceless.
They just, especially because I didn't have a line. It's just like, look, so you're just doing a bunch of different ones. And they're just giving you thoughts into the look, like surprise or whatever. And then, you know, they do that for 20 minutes. They have so many different looks. And then like, we like this one, you know?
Yeah.
It's like anyone can do it. You don't have to be talented to book that commercial.
I mean, yeah. Well, no. Yeah. I don't want to denigrate your role because I feel like it was a good role. The look was my favorite part of the whole thing. And it really, I bought a Keurig after that. So I do.
Nice.
Have,
so they should give me 1% or something.
Yeah. I already had one too. I was just like, that fucking look is great. Yeah. But I was going to ask you about your comedy, but what got you into the entertainment biz? Did you start with acting first? Did you start with comedy?
Stand up. Yeah.
Nice.
Stand up was the goal. I moved out to LA in 2010 and just started grinding. Yeah, always stand up was always the goal. And I mean, I don't know, stand up will always be the baby. And, you know, that's something that nobody can take away from me.
Yeah.
Along with podcasting. So that's, you know, acting's definitely always been some sort of like a little bit of a passion. But, you know, a lot of it is out of your control. And, you know, there is no Hollywood right now for the foreseeable future. And then also, it's just like, yeah, I mean, if I'm not having fun, then what are we doing? Like, you know, at the end of the day, you can get so the bigger you get in stand up, the more people will just come to you for acting stuff. So that's how I've looked at it now. So I used to grind more in acting with stand-up, but I think now I think it's more like I'm just going to hone stand-up and podcasting. And, you know, if that opens doors for other opportunities, that's great, you know. But I'm not going to get frustrated or put a lot of – I mean, dude, if I wasn't a stand-up or doing podcasting, like I can't imagine just being an actor how hard that's got to be. It's got to be so hard. It's just like you're just kind of grinding and – it's not like you can get up every night and showcase your talent. You know, you're just like in acting classes and running lines with like friends and stuff, really. But like the fulfillment I can't imagine is there, which is for stand up even every night. Even if you bomb, the next day you get up, you have a good set. You know what I mean? Like there's just always, you feel like you're improving or doing something better with stand up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And stand up, it seems to me, it's so interesting where I guess there are accolades or different accomplishments where you feel like I'm really good at stand-up, but it seems like such a huge fluctuating talent or achievement set where you could bomb one night, you could do really well another night, and so it seems like, oh, I'm really good, I'm really bad, etc., and then you end up doing huge milestones or you end up performing or doing
and all those milestones are for you too. I mean, the everyday people in the regular world would be like, what, who cares, you know what I mean? Like all those little milestones you get in stand up are really just for yourself anyways. The only tangible things you can really show for to like the everyday people would be like a special, you know, but they don't know what all those little things that give you wins along the way.
Does that frustrate you or do you just don't give a shit because you're like, it's for me anyway?
Yeah, maybe in the beginning when you're starting out, you know, part of you always are doing it for yourself, but part of you is like you want to prove people who thought like, hey, you would never be able to do something or achieve any sort of success in something that is like, just seems crazy to anyone else who doesn't understand it. And then, but then eventually, you know, I'm 36. You just, I don't know if it comes with age. You just don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? Like I'm doing what more and more every day I don't give a shit anymore. And it's just like, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to be afraid to say stuff. I mean, you know what I mean? Like I'm going to say what I think. And you know, if you judge me or people are going to attack you online for saying something, so be it. You know what I mean? I mean, I think that's a generation of stand up that we've had to be a part of where, you know, stand ups in the '80s and nineties, like they just said what they want. And we grew up into the stand up culture where like, is it okay to say this? Like, why do I have to even ask that? You know what I mean? Like, if you don't know why it's meant with a joke and it's not hatred or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, then that's on you. You know what I mean? Like, I'm at the end of the day, I want to be a comedian and I want to do it to have fun. And it's almost like, it seems like comedy right now is just not fun for a lot of people. It's just like, it's almost political, or it's just like you have to be right or wrong. It's just, it's kind of sad in a way.
Yeah. You know? It does seem like there are a lot of comedians that feel like they have to tiptoe around certain subjects or feel like they can't talk about certain things because then people get triggered, and then
and they're scared to get disciplined by Hollywood. That's what's stupid.
Yeah.
That's what's crazy. So that's why I'm just like, stand up and podcasting is like, you own it and you can't do anything about it. And you know, maybe, you know, if Hollywood's not going to be on board with the way you speak or believe in, then fuck them. You know what I mean? Like at the end of the day, you could call a coffee shop or a small theater and be like, hey, I want to put on a show. Like you can't take away someone's stand up or putting up a podcast on YouTube or something. So that's kind of where I was going with the whole Hollywood thing. It's just kind of a little frustrating that there are things where like, oh my God, am I going to get in trouble for something I tweeted 8 years ago when that's taken out of context? Or, you know, it could have been, I was tweeting about something because I saw it on TV and at the time that was relevant, but nobody even knows what that was about.
Yeah. How have you started feeling since you've turned on your, I don't give a fuck button or meter or whatever it is?
I'm just doing me and just posting and doing what I do and so be it. You know,
like, nice. Is there a certain, do you feel like a weight has been lifted off your shoulders where you were worrying before, but now you're just like, I don't give a shit, I'm doing
a little bit. Yeah. I think it makes me better. I think for sure. Yeah. Because then you were never really being true to yourself because you were I was doing things to be like, you know, this is what they want instead of doing what you want. You know what I mean? And that's how you hone yourself and that you rise above the crop and become an individual that is unique, because nobody else has your point of view or the way you think. But when you're scared, or you don't want to tweet something, or you don't want to post something, or you don't want to say something on a podcast, or you don't want to do a bit, or you don't want to do that type of style comedy because that doesn't get you on TV, or that doesn't do this, then you're just becoming a product of what people want, as opposed to who you are as an individual. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like if you are someone who wants to talk about sex on stage, then go ahead. You know what I mean? Like, you know, well, that's not going to get you on TV. Okay, fine. But like, what if like, that's what you do? You know what I mean? Like, or if you want, you know, you want to talk about racial jokes, then do it. You know, if there's no hate behind it and you just, that's what you right. find is funny, then that's what you find is funny. But like, you can't not do something because you're like, well, this isn't going to help my career. And that's not what they like. It's just like, but then you're just going to become a product and you're not going to be unique, you know, because you're not being true to who you are and how you think and what you believe in. Yeah. So, and then that's frustrating because it's like, you do want to be a part of Hollywood or the cool crew or whatever it is that makes money and works, you know what I mean? So it's just deciding on, you know, that you're having that battle. I think a lot of people battle with that. I think there are comics who've never battled with that, but I'm a comic who battled with that for a lot of years in stand-up of being like, well, I shouldn't, you know, do those type of jokes because that's, you know, that's going to be frowned upon because I'm an up and comer. You know what I mean? It's just like, as opposed to just doing what I want to talk about every night. And then because I think it's funny, or, you know, and not being afraid to get canceled for saying something, because yeah. you know, at the end of the day, you're a good person and you don't mean to hurt anyone maliciously. You know what I mean? You're just trying to have fun.
I think I'm going to turn on the compliment shower just a little bit. I like to get my guests a little wet, but I want to say you don't just talk the talk off stage, but you talk the talk on stage, where everything that you've just said, I feel like from the time that I saw you, first off, I don't think I've heard a comedian speak as quickly as you do. It was just like
fast.
Blam, blam, bam, bam. It was just joke after joke after joke. And you were still speaking and everyone was laughing. And it was a perfect rhythm of, even though you were speaking, it wasn't like people were laughing over any important setup punchline type yeah. part of your jokes. So I was dying laughing, and my wife and I. And then you, like you were saying, if you want to talk about sex, talk about sex. If you want to talk about what race, talk about race, whatever. You talked about a whole cornucopia of comedy. And I feel like you really made everything funny too. The whole crowd was laughing, because I think I did sense a little of, oh, I don't really give a fuck. I think the host was talking about grapes in someone's butthole, and you went and ran with that. And then one thing that was really interesting to me was, this was before having heard of you, you made a joke about your dog passing mm-hmm. away, which
second time ever doing that. Yeah.
And after I heard some of the podcasts that you're on, I'm very sorry to hear about that. But
the
way that you did it was also a beautiful example of how you're saying, okay, if you joke about what you want to joke about, and then that is something that's probably sensitive to you, where that was, like you said, one of the worst things that's ever happened to you. Yeah. And you made it absolutely hilarious when you were talking about when you were there with him, and then you were like, after he passed away, you're like, how long do I stay here? This is kind of weird. Are they gonna be like, he's there for 30 minutes, what the fuck is wrong with him?
I mean that would be a hard one to try to just do. And I think, I mean, with COVID and everything, I was just like, I'm gonna fucking do this, and I know that if it's not working and people get too uncomfortable, I'll just jump out of it. But like, I mean, I got to talk about it. You know, it was my first time. Those are my first shows I've done in 4 months. So I was just like, you know, let me just riff these ideas about the death that is relatable. You know, I know that a lot of people deal with that throughout the world. And I was just like, but I mean, I'm not going to, I remember being in the moment and be like, this is still funny. Like, this is funny. This is a funny kind of situation that people don't, you know what I mean? So like, I can't not laugh at, like, you know, like what are the rules here? You know what I mean? Like, nobody's ever told you what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that. You know what I mean? Because it's just like that's it. I have those. I could run with that. I've done it twice. And you know, when comedy is the thing next year, and you're able to become a polished comedian again, I can't wait to see where I can bring that bit.
Yeah.
You know.
It was probably one of my favorite parts of the set, and your whole set was pretty flawless in terms of it was just laugh after laugh after laugh. But I thought it was also a really nice example of walking the walk, or saying, you know, I'm taking things that are even sensitive to me, and I'm finding the funny out of it. It's out of a place of love, obviously. Like nobody's like, oh, that guy doesn't give a shit about his dog. They're like, oh, there are some awkward parts that nobody really talks about, and you found them and you made them hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's really good.
Well, thank you, man. Thank you. That's good to know that you liked that one. So that was the newest thing I had. My newest idea, yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome. And so I'll turn off the compliment shower. We'll talk a little bit more about...
Please don't.
Oh, sorry. All right. Cranking it back up. So I wanted to talk about podcasting too, because you had mentioned that a couple times of a nice outlet, a creative outlet for being able to not go insane in quarantine, one, and then also being an actor, doing stand-up. It's a nice kind of steady thing that you can keep doing and keep plucking comedy fruits from. So how did you start getting into podcasting, and how far has it led you? I know you started with Guys' Night Out, I think, and then
I started a podcast maybe like, you know, 3-4 years ago when I was, you know, I wanted something to do, you know, more. I mean, comedians have so much time on their hands, so, and I didn't really know how to start one or do all the behind the scenes stuff that I do now. So I knew a buddy, Chris Lev, who he knew how to like do all that stuff. So, and he was already doing like somewhat another podcast, and he was well spoken. And I was just like, hey, you want to do a podcast with me? And, you know, we'll make it like a dating one, like about like, you know, we'll see where it goes. And we did that, and we ran it for like 3 years, and it grew a little bit, you know, and you try to, you know, stay, and who knows if I would have kept going with it, you know, who knows where it would go, but like, I felt like after 3.5 years, I grew out of it, because it was like, it became a thing where we're reading stories. People would write in these stories, and then it's just like, you know, I'm reading a 21-year-old story about him hooking up with a chick in college and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, God, I'm going to be 36. What am I doing? You know what I mean? Like, I'm just like a platform for these fucking college kids to read their fucking stories about how they like got a blowjob and some whatever like repulsive shit. Like,
yeah.
I mean, there was a time when I thought it could have been like a male's call her daddy kind of thing, but like, it just didn't go that way. And I felt like it was like, you know, it was plateaued like a little bit, but I also was just like not having fun with it anymore. So I was just like, and I wanted something more to where I could do my own thing that I could build that would be like, if people watch this and then they go see my stand up, it's very similar. That they're like, oh, well, this is, I'm a fan of this podcast. And then I go see him stand up, and it's like I'm watching his stand up is his show. Like I'm riffing now because I'm doing my podcast by myself. So now I'm just like I'm gonna pick a topic and then I'm gonna riff about it and make some shit up about it and make it funny. And I feel like that the way I speak on my podcast is a little bit how I kind of do my stand up a little bit. So it goes hand in hand. And I had started the other podcast, and I was doing different way. I was doing it a different way, a couple different ways. I was trying to find its way. And this was like in October last year.
Yeah.
Then I stopped. And then I went to interview base where I wasn't doing video, where I was interviewing comedians. And then when quarantine happened, I was like, well, I got to do something. And I just started doing it from my room. And then I started building it. And then I was just like, you know, 24 episodes later, I feel like it's built way more momentum than I did in 3.5 years with the other podcasts. Like I feel good about it. Like it feels natural, and I'm having fun with it, and I'm excited. So that's what I like about this one.
Yeah. And it's another thing. It's really cool too. When I was looking at some of the podcasts, I saw Guys Night Out, and then I saw the last episode that's like, we've got some news. We're just done.
Because there was no way to do an episode. Like, what's the ironic thing is, like, we did that before COVID happened. So I was just like, let's just, and then COVID happened like the next week or two. So it was like, it was going to end anyways, you know?
Right. So. Yeah. And the takeover, I got to say, is it's awesome.
Oh, really? Thank you, man.
The shower's still on. I mean, who else could talk about fucking tinfoil and not knowing how to fold socks and
everything else? Dang shit, dude. It's just like, I mean, that's what I'm doing in my life. Like, I don't know.
It's so good.
I find it interesting too. It's just like, dude, you guys not do this too? Like, I don't know.
I showed that part to my wife because I was like, you have to listen to this. Because I wasn't very good at folding socks and I didn't really know there was a way. So I just throw them in my sock drawer. Yeah. And then my wife was like, no, let me show you. Fold. And then she just scrunched them up into a ball together.
When was anyone supposed to learn this? Like your mom, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Whenever I fuck up, it's something in the house.
I see you got curtains too. Like you got to you want to feel nice. Like you want to have a nice place. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things.
Exactly.
Makes you feel good when you walk in your room. People forget about this stuff. You know what I mean? You're like, why are you in such a good mood? And they don't even know. They're like, I don't know. I'm just a happy person. No, it's not. It's because you're all like, you have your shit together at your house. I'll bet you your bed's made. You know, meet someone in a good mood. They have their bed's made.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Someone in a bad mood, I'll bet you like they have other shit going on, but I'll bet you they didn't make their bed. You know what I mean?
And and then that accumulates. It's you're absolutely right, because I feel like you make your bed, that's one thing that you've won that battle for the day. You've done that thing. You have a nice space. I mean, I didn't even know the words feng shui until I was 30 years old. But now
I still don't know. I'm not even gonna attempt to say that. I know.
But now I feel that there's an energy in a room. And I'm going to sound like a crazy person, but I feel like there's an energy that helps you become more positive or more constructive, or it might mess with you if you have a heap of dirty laundry just everywhere.
I mean, little things like that do, like if I'm even out and about and I'm like, well, I still have to do that. And it can be mundane stuff that doesn't matter, but it's still on my mind of like, maybe this might be a little weird, but I'll be like, I'll definitely be 2 days away from laundry and note that to myself in my head throughout a day and be like, oh, in 2 days, I'm going to have to do laundry. Like I'll tell myself that. So I don't know if I only do that or if other people do that, but I think like, I don't know if that's like crazy. Like some people might be like, why do you even care about that stuff? Think about it later. Like, aren't you worried about like work and stuff like that? I'm like, I don't know. That's just how I think. I don't know. That's my brain.
This is a very strange thing to say. But I feel like you would be a very good husband where...
Yeah, that's the goal, man. I'm just trying to get to the family status, man. My whole goal is to be a family man, but I can't do that until I get all this other stuff going first, because I'm not having that when I got two other guys living in this place with me. You know what I mean? I got to get financially secure first, and, you know, whoever she is, she'll be ready, you know?
She's going to be lucky. She's going to wake up to a made bed. Well, she'll have to get out of it first, but...
Yes, yes. Yeah. Maybe she'll make it. Maybe, I don't know.
There you go. You guys can go back and forth. But I feel like you have a lot of the things for... I think it's just being responsible. And I think that might be not very normal nowadays, where a lot of people... Maybe. I don't know. They just don't think about those things, or with this age of convenience, just... You don't worry.
I don't know if it's necessarily a bad thing if you don't do those things, but like, I mean, like there are some people who I've noticed there's a correlation to very, very intelligent people don't bother with a lot of things, those small things. There is that too. I mean, there are people who are very intelligent that are very organized as well, but I've noticed like, you know, I have a friend of mine who's, he was an engineer for Boeing. So very, very intelligent guy. Not, he doesn't make his bed. Clothes are all over the place. Has dusty counters. You know what I mean? Like, it's weird. You know what I mean? Very responsible guy. Very, you know, conservative and like a good kid, straight edge. You know what I mean? But like that part of his life is a mess. Yeah. And it's so fascinating. You're like, why is that a mess? But you're the real world stuff that matters is not a mess. See, I'm here organized and clean, but like my real life world shit is a mess. It's just like, I mean, financial decisions going back to 99. I mean, just like a fucking idiot. But I got a fucking nice made bed.
I've got curtains. I've got folded socks.
I got curtains. So
I feel like what you're saying too, it lines up with what I see in Queer Eye. If you've ever seen Queer Eye on Netflix.
I think I've seen part of it, yeah.
Those are like, there's nothing magical that they say. They're like, get a haircut and trim your beard and make your bed and clean your room. Like, and then the person 5 days later is like, oh, I feel so changed. So I think there's a, if your friend that was super successful on the outside of life made their bed and everything, I think that would almost
be a complete person. They would be too perfect.
Yeah, too perfect.
They might take over the world.
They might, yeah, next president of the United States. Yeah. So, yeah, let's prevent it. I don't know if you want him to get that far. But
I mean, again, I don't know much about politics, but I feel like he can't do any worse. So,
yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Is there anything? This was a fascinating talk. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about, Michael, before we get into the self-help portion?
No, there was been really nothing on my mind these days. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. How are you? Are you okay, man? You know, I guess that's what is everything okay with you?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm
then,
good.
Then I think we're fine. I think we're fine, you know.
Yeah, my bed is made. It's I've just fallen into routine, man. I feel like routine has been my savior.
I think for everyone during quarantine and COVID is if you can find a routine that kind of helps you through this. Yeah. Like even when I went back to Florida, that's where my family is for a little bit, and I was there for 2 weeks. But you know, even though I'm doing nothing here and there, I feel way more organized doing nothing here, like because there's some sort of routine. It's just healthier for my brain.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
That's and I guess having my wife has been a huge thing because I have somebody in the house with me, but having the routine because I haven't seen my family in 6 months or so, but having the routine and talking with them, I still talk with them on the phone. It's almost better, to be honest with you, in some cases where I had a birthday party. This sounds so depressing. I'm such an antisocial person. But I had my birthday party and I had a Zoom party and it was timed from, it was like an hour. People came in, they said, hey, then they left. It was beautiful. I didn't have to clean up.
Those Zoom parties are actually more fun than you would imagine. You know, going into it, you're like, I don't know. And then like an hour later, you're like, that was actually fun, huh? We had a good time.
Yeah, yeah. I got my little backgrounds up. I mean, it was pretty cool. So it was nice. You don't have to clean up dishes. You don't have to make a huge souffle or a roast. Yeah. You're good. I mean.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But anyway, thank you for it. You're the only guest, I think, out of my 170 episodes that's asked how I am. So.
Well, I mean, that's me improving as a person, I guess. I'll spin it back on to me. Thank you. There you go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's keep the nozzle directed towards you. Yeah. Great person. All right. Well, Michael, this was awesome. You're a very successful, very hilarious comedian. I enjoyed speaking with you. I'm sure the audience, especially our funeral members, are going to crack up at this. So
that's unbelievable.
Yeah. It's awesome. All right. Let's go ahead and get into the self-help portion of the podcast. We're going to start out with a quote, but before I provide the quote that I have, I usually like to ask my guests if they have any inspirational quotes that help get them through their days.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely some that I could think of that right now I'm bombing. I can't right now on the top of my, from the top of my head.
No pressure. You're the only guest that's struggled so far, but.
Really? Okay. Well, then I'll just throw out, pain is a weakness leaving the body. You know, I don't want to use that one. That one sucks. You know,
was that Batman? Who was that?
Oh, that's like the Marines thing from back in the day. Like pain is a weakness leaving the body. And it's just like push harder, like work out. I don't like that one either. There are some that like, dude, I have some that I could just pull up in 2 seconds that I just know that I have saved somewhere that I'm like, oh, well, there's this one that you would be like, whoa, that I made up myself. Like,
you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to edit this part out. So we'll cut out all the struggling to find it. And then you'll have one and it'll pop up.
Well, I mean, some great quotes are like from like, if I did have a favorite quote, it would be from like some favorite like athlete or something, like maybe something Michael Jordan said or something that maybe like, Vince Lombardi said, something like a coach. that has a good one, which there are if you just Google, because I used to like Google these things and look at them and be like, hey, some like great quotes from winners and stuff like that. And it's just like, so there's ones like that, like, you know, sacrifice is not, you know, sacrifices, you know, whatever fucking bullshit. They just Google it. How about this? If you're fucking looking for me for some fucking quote, your life's fucked anyways. So just, that's your fault. So don't fucking look at me for some quote. Okay. I'm just trying to lay in bed and fucking talk about life and my feelings with another woman. That's my quote. That's fucking intimacy to me. To me, intimacy is laying in bed naked with another woman talking about my life goals. And that's what I want. That's intimacy. There's my quote. You know what I mean? But if you need me for a quote, you got a lot more problems you got to deal with. How about that?
I like that. That's beautiful. So, I'm starting to understand why people tattoo quotes onto themselves, because otherwise they'd be like, fuck, I forgot my quote. What? I can't think of it. And then they're like, oh, yeah. C'est la vie.
Also, bad idea if you're getting a tattoo of a quote on your arm. Just like, maybe don't get a tattoo.
Are you anti-tattoo?
I'm not anti-tattoo, but if it's a quote, it's just like, what are you doing? Like,
I guess I should not show my arms then, because
you have a quote tattoo?
I've got seven.
Seven quotes?
No, I'm kidding. I don't have a single tattoo on my body.
I would just be like, a quote. I mean, like, unless the quote is so meaningful, but like, how is any quote so meaningful unless it was like from your dying grandmother and like, then you use that and then turned it into like the fucking, the saying of the motto of your company that went to a Fortune 500 or some shit like that. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Whatever. Pain is weakness leaving the body right here.
Pain is a weakness leaving the body.
Do you have any tattoos, by the way?
No.
No. Yeah. Me neither. I feel like.
Not yet. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I've really thought about it.
Me neither. I just don't care enough about it to be able to do it. And I don't know. I feel like my body fluctuates. Not a lot. Like, I don't get obese and then skinny, but I feel like sometimes I get a little puffy and then I'll get skinny again. So I don't know if that'll be good for a tattoo.
Yeah, just don't get it on your stomach, I guess. I mean, I think it's fine if it's maybe on your arm.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but I mean, whatever. I mean, how old are you?
32.
Yeah, you've made the decision that you're probably not really going to get some. So
that's good. What?
Unless something tragic happens, I guess, you know.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, thank you for the quotes, Michael. I appreciate.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, I'm the quote guy. That's what they say.
The quote guru over here. This is beautiful. All right. Well. It makes me feel less bad about providing my quote, which is not by a person. It's not by a coach. It's by a robot. It's called InspiroBot. And so what it does is it uses AI to take some of the wisest words known to man and then just mash them together for a really juicy, inspirational quote.
Well, let's hear it. Let's see how good it could be.
All right. It's this week, InspiroBot says, seek success, but prepare for vegetables.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand it.
It kind of does make sense if you think about it. It's like, you know, there's a lot of success from, let's say, acting. You could be a very successful actor, but the vegetables that InspiroBot is mentioning are the waiting, the multiple takes, the wondering if you're going to get the part. That's like a lot of real life broccoli.
Say it again. The first part is what?
Seek success.
Yeah, seek success. Like, you know, when you are seeking success, just know that they're going to be vegetables. They're going to be a lot of things you don't like along the way. That's what it's saying.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Not everybody likes vegetables. Now, it doesn't mean that some of the vegetables you come across on the way to success that you're going to hate and you might actually enjoy them. Yes, that's true, but you didn't expect them to be there. If you go to a fucking ice cream shop to get ice cream and there's carrots there, you didn't expect that. But you might like carrots.
So it just took a literal twist here.
So it's just like, you know, just be prepared. Be prepared for everything. And, you know, if you can boil water and cook up those vegetables, success will taste a little bit better. Welcome to the show,
guys. This is right on brand. I love this. All right. I feel like we nailed that quote. Now we're inspired. So I think it's time to It's time to get into the questions. We've got our first one. It's from Reddit, found by our fan, Sydney. Thank you, Sydney. This person says, I can't stop picking my belly button. I don't know what to do, but I feel awful when you don't do it and the urge is there. When I do it, it feels fantastic and I don't know why. Is there any way that I can stop doing this? Sincerely, Naval Officer.
Yeah, I mean, there definitely is probably some ways to stop this. Therapy, anxiety medication probably would help. But now,
what if you plug it? Can you just
are we picking it like all day, or is it just like once in a while? Then who cares? It's not that big of a deal. Like, what are we? How long are we talking about? Like, is this like, there we go. That was it for the day. That was it. I picked it, and that's it. That's once a day. Live your life and do that. That's fine. But if this is like something you're doing throughout the day nonstop, you got issues. You got fucking issues.
I'm afraid that it's the latter, because this person says, I can't stop. So I'm just imagining their finger permanently like this, just belly button deep going in there and just.
What's going on? Like, I mean, just. Yeah, you know what you got to do is you got to start looking up these quotes and think about what they mean and take your mind off of your belly button.
Oh, yeah, you could do that. If you go to the ice cream shop, find some carrots, maybe a carrot, a vegetable could be the resolution. You could put some vegetables in there, and if your finger doesn't like to touch vegetables, then it's going to start to not go there.
Or clean your belly button.
Clean your belly button?
Just make sure it's clean so there's nothing to pick. Like, what are you picking?
Oh, yeah. Maybe it's like a nervous tick. I was thinking my brother, he would suck his thumb, so my parents smothered it with gorgonzola cheese, being the Italians that they are. And so then he stopped because the smell was bad. So maybe
that's,
if you...
That's a thing, too. But, I mean, how long was he sucking it till? I mean, 10?
Like 24.
Yeah,
it wasn't even that old. It was 6, maybe 7.
Yeah, people would do hot sauce sometimes. Your family's nice.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Some families would do hot sauce. If my son was doing, fucking put his thumb in my shit, and I'd be like, yeah, suck it now. But you fucking, that would stop him real quick.
That might, or it could turn into something real weird. So
yeah,
either way, it's a gamble, but high risk, high reward.
Sure.
So yeah. But anyway, so stick shit in your belly button.
Just don't do any, just go see a therapist. You need a therapist. I mean, it's fine if you just do it once a day. I just think if you're doing it all the time, it's just like, what, like, do you not have things to do? Like, make your bed.
Make your bed. Get some curtains.
I'll bet you they don't make their bed.
Scrunch your socks.
They don't make their bed.
Yeah. Make your bed. And maybe just make it like, you know, smoking or another addiction that there might be. I think you kind of, with smoking, maybe you could get a patch or something, or you could find a fix towards it. So maybe like get close to the belly button.
I mean, it could be like biting your nails, you know what I mean? People bite their nails. I still bite my nails sometimes, but you know, I'm not doing it all the time. It just sometimes happens. So maybe it's not harmful at all and it's fine. And, you know, just, you know, keep living your life and go after your dreams.
Yeah.
And don't tell anyone about this belly button thing. Yeah. Let's keep that a secret. Definitely don't put it on Reddit. So
definitely hide a shameful habit. All right, good. Now we've got our second question from Reddit. This is from our fan Emmy. Thank you, Emmy. LMAO, I sent a sexy pic to a guy I used to hook up with, and he said, that's super hot, but it's almost my bedtime. How do I respond?
I'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, good night. I mean, what, are you waiting for us to tell you what to respond? I mean, it's already too late. It's been way too long. But I mean, you know what I mean? If you're waiting for us to tell you what to say, that this conversation's already over. But I mean, yeah, that's weird that he added, but it's super late. I'm going to bed. Like, you guys, I need to know what the history is, because it sounds like his response is, it's sexy, but I'm going to bed. Like, you guys play around on the phone a lot. Like, that sounds like there's some pre-existing stuff that you used to do. Like, that usually you send a sexy pic, and then he does, and then you guys like you like hook up with each other over text. That's what I'm picking up from this.
Yeah.
So he's saying he's too tired and doesn't want to hook up with you. Now, if you're just sending a sexy pic to be like, hey, how are you? I'm sexy, and he's like, yeah, you're pretty, you're hot. You could just be like, thanks. Why not you respond like, well, we should see each other soon? That would be normal, but based off his response, I feel like there's something you're not telling us. And, you know, I don't, you know, I'm not attacking you, but it just doesn't add up that he would respond that for no reason unless he had a reason.
Yeah.
You know, I consider myself a good detective, so.
I agree with that. I mean, there might be a rare chance that he's still living with his mom, and so he does have an actual bedtime. But besides that, I feel like there is a reason that he's just not into it, or he didn't like what he saw, or something happened that just caused him to say, hey, look, I'm going to passively aggressively say I do not want to continue engaging in this sexual communication.
Yeah, I mean, there's something there where it was like there's a previous relationship there, and he was assuming that this was going to be keeping him up all night. Like, you were going to send a bunch. So maybe that's what I'm saying. I don't think you should give up yet. I think maybe he was just tired.
Yeah. Or maybe he saw if you took the picture in your room and it showed your bed and it wasn't made, maybe you got to make that bed.
Maybe he's not happy about that. Yeah. He could not, he might be looking for a wife.
Yeah. Yeah. He's looking for wifey material. So he's really looking more towards the bed than you, and seeing that's an untidy bed. That's an untidy person.
I want someone who's organized, who has their life together. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So, but don't take it personal.
Or do. I mean, take it personally and learn from it.
Well, sure. I mean, I'm not here to hurt your feelings. I mean, you obviously asked the question for some advice, and I don't know you personally, but, you know, you put yourself out there. Don't expect to always get what you want, you know?
Is that a Michael Linoci quote?
That is a quote. You know what I mean? Like, just, you can't expect everything to go the way you want. You know what I mean? If you're going to put yourself out there, that's what makes art crazy, is you have to be vulnerable and you have to be able to take the blows. And, you know, I don't know what you were doing is called art, but in some, you know, in some places, maybe it is, you know, maybe in Greece, they're like, that is art. You know, I don't know.
That was a beautiful Greek accent too.
Yeah, I don't know. I just went with an accent. So it doesn't really matter because it's my game, right? So it doesn't matter. So.
That's fair. Yeah. It is. I think it is some sort of salacious or lecherous art, I would say.
Yeah.
Some dark art. Yeah. So, all right. Well, I think we nailed it. Those questions are answered, resolved, and those are the last ones. So we've reached the end of the podcast. So, Michael.
And people thought we couldn't do it, and I knew we would make it to the end.
We would, yeah. There was some trouble there with the quotes, but we ended up making it. We were good.
I think they were great. I think we leave it all in there.
We did. You know what? Those were just vegetables. You guys get through that, and then you get the meaty part of the podcast.
Yeah, leave it in there. It's fine.
It's done. All right. Michael, thank you so much for joining. Where can people find you? What have you got going on? This is your time to just plug, plug, plug.
Well, guys, you could find me at Michael Linoci on all social media platforms. And then, you know, if you're really a fan, from there, you'll pretty much find everything else. I don't really have to, you know, beg you right now. So if you like, go check out my podcast called The Takeover. And that's basically everything I got going on for me right now. And that's all I have. That's all I got. So help me. Help.
I love how it started off as, here's some of my stuff. If you really like me, you can fucking get it yourself. And then at the end, it was like, help me. Please help.
Yeah.
So that was so good.
You know, tell me hi. I don't know. Well, what is life, guys?
There you go. All right. Well, thank you very much, Michael. Thank you for everybody that's listening. And we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.